Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Very, very much welcome to you, my brothers and sisters, and we hope we've got some listeners on our pre-record this morning. For those of you that follow me along on Twitter, you would be able to know that we're starting a little bit late, but if you are with us, we welcome you very, very much. And today is going to be devoted mostly to your questions and to answer them. So I hope that you're listening, those of you that have sent them into the forum. And then, my brothers and sisters, just a few announcements really quickly before I get too far out there and forget to say all these things. First of all, I just want to mention that we have two wonderful forums available right now. And on the one, you can go to forumschoolofarcana.org. On the one, the masters discuss the teachings. They discuss techniques of the various wonderful and holy tools that have been coming to Earth for the last year and a half or so from the infinite. And they discuss those techniques and the deeper meanings of the teachings. On the other forum, more personal questions are addressed. What to do at a workplace where you are constantly overlooked for promotion, that sort of thing. We also have a very special place, and you can again reach it by going to forum, schoolofarcana.org, and it is the place where we give a daily thought in the form of a question and answer that every day I answer for you. And in addition to that, there are regular new meditations on that site that many of you have not heard at all. In fact, they possibly all of them have not been heard by you at all. And so they're there for you to create a holy space to start your day with. So, my brothers and sisters, we've got many exciting products that are coming out. On schoolofarcana.org, there is a shopping cart, and we also, of course, have our home site, spiritualjourneys.com, www.spiritualjourneys.com has our primary shopping cart because it also has our books. But the other one also is a shopping cart. So take a look because we've got some ebooks that have come out, and one is due out in about 10 days from now, The Thought That Fractured the Infinite. We also have a new lecture that is coming up, and it will be featured on BBS Web Professor. But for information on it, please go to Spiritual Journeys shopping cart and you'll be able to see where to go for what. So, just to now start in with your questions. There are really great ones here. And actually, I want to start with one from Angela from Ireland. Angela is a phenomenal Irish oracle. She's part of the Ascended Masters that are the Order of the White Rose, and if you ever want to visit there and attend the classes that I hold there, they're on my website. We go to Ireland so that I can meet with these wonderful masters three times a year. And I believe one is coming up in May. So just really quickly, then her question is, there is a DNA rose, my brothers and sisters, that if you have been day by day tuning into my diary, which you reach by going to www.almeendiary.com, you will see from the enhanced rose that there are, in fact, a rose that follows a specific formula. It's a mathematical sequence, but the actual truth that I've never spoken before because I only saw it this morning pursuant to looking at Angela's question is that it isn't a mathematical formula, it's an alchemical formula. It's an alchemical sequence. The sequence has a center, of course. You can count that as the ring, and that's number one. And around it, three petals. Around that, seven, then 12, then 20, then 33, then 54, then 72, 96, 144, 214, 300, and 514 petals. This is the DNA of the capabilities of man, the DNA capabilities of man. Because man is that wonderful microcosm, it also is the sound chambers of the cosmic macrocosm, because, you know, that's what human bodies really represent, the macrocosm or the cosmos of all individuated life. So she's asking a very intuitive question. 540 rose petals, 13th ring dimension. Is it expanding to 15th and 16th ring, avatar, rishi, god seed levels, heaven on Gaia, or is it there already? Then she also asks, is physical teleportation a reality here, or is it just bilocation? Let me answer the second one first. If you go on the forum and contact Cindy, and, you know, if Cindy is not on the forum, Ruth can give you her email. Ruth Peterson, our facilitator in Alaska, is her very dear friend as well with Cindy and can give you her email address. Cindy has teleported between her house and my house now several times for pot. And so contact her and you guys can talk about that. So let's go to the petals. Two rings of petals were just days ago instated, if you will. They were brought online and created for humankind. I have not had the chance to ask the number of petals because this is a sequence number in alchemy, and I'll explain to you how that goes. But let's just first look what their numbers are. And I'm seeing it in front of me now, and the numbers are 682. So the last row of petals was 514. These are 682. And then the next row of petals is 719, which is interesting. That's not a very huge step upwards. Let me just double look at this and make absolutely sure I have this correct. 682, that's absolutely correct, 719, I've got that wrong. Let me just see, maybe it's 729, just one second please. Okay, we accidentally got cut off there for a moment because I thought so long. Our student manager, our station manager, John, thought we were on a break. My brothers and sisters, it looks like 779. So we have 682 as the next in the sequence of numbers of alchemy and 779. So I'm going to tell you how these numbers work. Because I have been racking my brain trying to find some sort of a logical sequence to it, because this is the sequence of higher life that I've just given you. And then this morning I realized, wait a minute, I shouldn't be looking for it to be mathematical. This is not a mathematical sequence. This is an alchemical sequence. So let me give it to you really, really quickly, how this works. When you work with physical alchemy, chunk of lead plus this equals gold. It can go up to 96 times. 1 plus 1 equals 96. When you work with the alchemy of light, 1 plus 1 can go up to 144. Then you work with the alchemical sequence of frequency. and it goes up to 1 plus 1 is 214. When you work with the alchemy of crystals, because crystals combine both physical matter and trapped light and frequency. Crystals are very, very unique that way. They are little capacitors, if you will, like a jug under a tap that holds water. They are capacitors for light and frequency, but they're physical. So when you work with the alchemy of crystals, it will leverage 1 plus 1 equals 514. Now, my brothers and sisters, I have in the last month written 2 books. It has poured forth. I had to lock myself basically in a room for a week in Toronto to finish get receiving from the angels in the book, The Gift of the Angels, which will be available, I would say, in about a month and a week. The Gift of the Angels. We have given the beginning of the alchemy of light in the book, The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, which, as I said, is going to be available in about a week. In The Gift of the Angels, there's more of it. It continues. And then we start to get the Sacred Secrets of the Angels, which is the second book in a trilogy of angelic books that they are giving us out of their hidden places. This particular book has to do with the frequency of alchemy, and then we have just recently, also for that book, been given the crystalline alchemy. And so the leverage on that is 514. I only know that there's one more angel book coming because we've started to receive some of its symbols, and I don't even know what it's about or what it's for. But possibly whatever it is that can, I can't even imagine what it is that you would do the alchemy in that would leverage it this high, all the way up to perhaps 779. But you can see how these are not mathematical sequences. So, yes, there are 2 more rows, and that is what they are, and that is from Angela in Ireland. Where to start? Let's go to Anita from Canada. She says, today I was receiving messages from a master crystal while in meditation. There was a reference to a third planet from Sirius as being pertinent to a friend's future. I know the star systems have changed. Would you know about such a planet? Its name or info, perhaps? Let me tell you what I've worked with in Sirius, and it's just, you know, I would have to look really deep to see which one is the one pertaining to your friend, however. There's a white sun and there's a little blue sun. So there's a bigger star and a smaller blue star. There is a ring that has been hidden until very recently and should just become visible to us right about now. And the ring is the result of an exploding planet that exploded about 2,000 years ago. And it left a ring of debris, but it's like a ring that's habitable because some of the debris is in chunks large enough to sustain life. So, let me just see then. Then there was a planet, and I don't know anything about the astronomy of Sirius. I just know that there was a sun I called Sirius A and there was a sun I called Sirius B. Sirius B being the little blue dwarf. Then there was a planet mostly of water that I called Sirius C, just for want of a better word. Let me just see if this is the planet. There's a very small landmass on it about the size of Australia, and that's it. And its waters are greenish, and almost the entire planet has that water. Let me just see. This is the planet that pertains to your friend, and that would be Sirius C, named by Almin. What they call it, I'm not sure. Now, let's go to Let's go to Mark from Ohio. The window to doing incorruptible magic, which is on page 120 and following, and I presume that this is the book Windows into Eternity, is this 10 steps process to be done only once to activate the codes in the different parts of the body to be able to do magic? Or can it be used every time one wants to work with white magic? And if this is the case, would it be self-sufficient? I mean, can one use it for any purpose without the help of other spells? And what he's talking about here, my brothers and sisters, is what we're talking about is that let me just see how to put this. This is a pathway of activation that was a linear process before. The infinite has eliminated all linear becoming. So even though we're speaking it in sequence, Mark, what has changed about that is that it will now activate all at once. So even though it's spoken in sequence, it's an exponential activation. Before, one did have to do it. When that book was written, you know, which is it's our most recent book, actually, other than the e-book of The Way of the Toltec Nagual, that book, when it was written, you had to do it often. Now you can only do it once. Because the codes are so ready to be activated, they have officially been activated by the infinite, but we've kept these layers of illusion over things, even though at the core they are fixed. So it removes those layers, the spider web off of the painting sort of thing. So once should be quite adequate. It does not have to be done with another spell. So, my goodness, we are a little late for our break here. Let's quickly take it, and we'll be right back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters, and we're going to continue our answers of your questions. So let's go. Let me see. I'm going to jump around all over the world here. We did Angela from Ireland and Anita from Canada. And let's go to, let me see. We did Mark from Ohio. Let's go to my brother in Greece. And where is his? And then we'll go to Stephen in England, Kostas from Greece. And since it only takes one person who has reached ascended mastery or a few ascended masters to change the entire cosmos, And we know that this has already been happening. What would the role of the ones who are students of light now be? After these changes, will light students continue their growth as they know it today? And at what level the people who accept the social norms would they change? Let's take his student, his questions, and I hope that I'm correct in assuming that Kostas is a male name, because it's a name from Greece. I'm not really familiar with it. But Kostas, here, let's go first bit by bit through your questions. It takes only one person who has reached ascended mastery, or a few ascended masters, to change the entire cosmos. Let's just examine that statement for a second. One of the reasons why that has been possible, Kostas, is that the very first creations, when the infinite began creation, the very first creations were actually gods and goddesses of the throne. There were 144, there were 1,440, and then eventually 144,000. Those are mostly the men and women, the masters, that are attracted to my words, because my task was laid out very clearly for me when I started this work in February of 2005, that it will happen, that I must gather the pillars of the temple. The pillars of the temple are the infinite's firstborn. They were the gods and goddesses from which creation sprang. They are called the gods and goddesses of Agawavanti, which means the gods and goddesses of source. And it's because they are who they are that they are the pivot points of the cosmos. Humanity as an archetype, they're also pivot points to some extent, but not to this large extent. And not every planet's ascended masters affect the whole cosmos. But the gods and goddesses from which life, and this is way back in the dream, so understand it's like a fable at this time, but it still holds water in terms of the reason, they are the original prime creations. They are the ones with very high consciousness. They are the only ones that are on one planet able to affect everything. If it were so that all ascended masters could affect everything, there are ascended masters also on other planets. It is not all the ascended masters. It is very specifically those who just almost instantly, they remember who they are, they go into their God kingdom, and they're walking right here among us. So those are the ones that can make that cosmic difference to a very high extent, where they can consciously change the cosmos. That has been the case until recently. What has also been the case until recently is that humanity is the archetype, and that there is a small influence, like a ripple through the cosmos, by humanity as humanity does its overcomings. What is more possible is that one being out there that is semi-conscious or conscious to some extent, making a change within it, what's more probable is that they can affect the whole Earth. And again, it is a subtle change. Cosmically, yes, they can, and I wrote about this in Journey to the Heart of God. But they will, under those circumstances, make a change that's much smaller. The great profound changes are made by the gods and goddesses of the throne, the original ones of source, as they go into their ascended mastery and beyond. However, something incredibly unique was given by the angels to me during that week. I was finishing their other book. I wrote another book as well. I forgot to mention that one. I mean, I have now written, let me see, I have two of them three-quarters done, and I have written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books since January. That's how rapidly it's pouring forth through me and the oracles who are doing the sketching for me. So my brothers and sisters, we just received a book last month in Toronto during the same week I was in. I wrote it during that week, and it's Karnish Belvaspata. Belvaspata is a healing modality that was given by the mother as the poles changed and shifted and energy healing modalities no longer worked. She gave it to humankind in 2006 in August. And she gave it to be a substitute for the other healing modalities. You can go to the site, just look up belvaspatar.com and you'll be able to find it. But what has happened is that an enlightenment healing modality has been given. Belvaspatar is just a healing modality. Karnish Belvaspatar is the healing modality of enlightenment. You can self-initiate with Belvaspatar. It's given to you in the book, The Ring of Truth. It's given to you in the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, How to Self-Initiate. And the waiting period has changed since those books were written, so you can now receive level 1 and 2 together. And 3 months later, you can receive mastery and grand mastery. And so you can, within 3 months, end up being a master or a grand master able to assist others. Karnish Belvaspatar, and initiate others. Karnish Belvaspatar is available for anyone that is certified, that has gone through the initiations and has been certified as Belvaspatar practitioner no matter what level you're in. You can start to practice Karnish Belvaspatar. Go onto the forum at schoolofthearcana.org and speak to the Oracle Shelley in Toronto. And she has been doing, since the day that Karnish Belvaspatar came out when I was in Toronto, she has been doing Karnish Belvaspatar on her family. Her husband is totally not into spirituality every day. She wrote to me to say, Almin, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being the vehicle to bring this in because I've done it every day and the miracles in my family are just unspeakable. The changes that have happened. Why? Because this ties into Costas's question. My brothers and sisters, why beings, people that come to my classes go into mastery after 5 days? It's not conceivable, but it happens. And the reason it happens is because of the work we are asked to do. When we present ourselves as cosmic pivot points for those 5 intense days that we are together, we cry together, we laugh together, we dance together, we play together, and we solve incredible cosmic mysteries. Unto whom much is given as a responsibility, the same person receives the equal measure of gifts. When we pivot cosmic issues on our shoulders for 5 days, the enhanced consciousness that's given to us pushes them into mastery. My brothers and sisters, Karnish Belvaspatar, as you do the healing, whether it's on your dog, your cat, actually, you don't do Belvaspatar on a dog and a cat, you do Kriyavaspatar on a dog and a cat, so I scrap that, as you do it either on yourself or your son or your daughter, and you add in the Karnish Belvaspatar sigils, it changes the cosmos. Anybody that can practice Belvaspatar can therefore cost us change the cosmos, whether they are but a student or not, and they won't stay a student for long because of the gift that they're bringing to the cosmos. So he's asking, after these changes, will light students continue their growth as they know it today? No, they won't, because today's has a lot of its growth. This is very important for today. Because it was in the night that this work was done by the infinite cosmically. The growth as we know it has been to identify ourselves, in other words, to understand ourselves by that which we're not. We have been like garbage collectors. We've eliminated and eliminated and eliminated illusion out of our own beings. This is changing. Growth is to now be, through what we are, the unfolding of our uniqueness, our gifts, our talents, our joy, rather than finding all that is not. in our environment? And as I say, it is a pertinent question for today. I thank you very, very much. At what level will the people who accept the social norms change? They change because we change, Costas. But they also change because as we change, the earth changes and the cosmos does. And it has to bear fruit in the next few years. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. So, my brothers and sisters, we've answered now some from all over the world. Let's keep going. Let's do one from Nancy in Arizona. On your past radio show, you had mentioned how some plants were not life-enhancing, especially marijuana that was non-life-enhancing since it caused, I think you said, bondage, which I did. It's actually regarded in shamanic ways as one of the warrior plants. Does this mean that some species of plants will not be ascending as well, some species in the animal kingdom? Let's start from the beginning. See, there are, in fact, a few species of plants. Let's just put it at maybe between 3 and 5% of the plant kingdom that will not be ascending. That is accurate, so they will die out. However, whether marijuana is one of them or not, that is a different story. See, marijuana, let's take something like foxglove. Foxglove, you know, it can be a medicine. Digitalis can slow down a racing heart. At the same time, it can stop a heart. It can be used beneficially or it can be used detrimentally. It can also be used shamanically, which means that you actually use it as a gateway to go in to see a very unique perspective of the cosmos. That's the shamanic use of it. And this we've given on, I believe, it's Earth, we'll ask exactly where it is. And there is also a glossary on the schoolofarcana.org forum. There is a glossary of where to find self-help techniques, my brothers and sisters. However, what this is pertinent to is that we have got on www.ancientshamanism.com, but there is another website, and I don't know if it's the Earth Chronicles website. It might be. www.earthchronicles.com. We have over 2 websites, and you can always get this information from the other masters off of the forum on forum, schoolofarcana.org. But there are methods given which to use these plants as gateways. So foxglove, you can say, oh, it's a horribly toxic plant, or you can say it's beautiful purple and white flowers, or you can say this is a helpful medicine, or you can say this is a shamanic gate. The use of plants depends on how you will gauge them. So marijuana might be a warrior plant that becomes addictive only if you, I guess you can eat it or smoke it or whatever you do, only when you do that with it. But it isn't if you use it as a gateway that is shamanic. So let's take a look at your other question. Will some of the animal kingdom species not ascend? Last week, I believe it was, we were able to find that there's this discordant tone in the cosmos. And my brothers and sisters, my life has been a blur because of things that have been going on in the cosmos. So I'm not sure what I've written and what I haven't. I just know that every day I share with you things on the diary, on the blog. And so I think that I wrote about this on our blog. But it was found that nature's discordant tones was actually disturbing the innocence of humanity, believe it or not. You know, before this, we have always regarded humanity as the impure, and we've regarded nature as the pure, but as the ascension was happening, we have uncovered that as humankind is made purer and purer and purer, somehow or another, there still is this impure sound. And it was because nature had not been upgraded alongside of it. I expect, now that that upgrading is happening, my sister Nancy, and that will in fact create a lot of species dying off. For instance, will all meat eaters die off? No, but possibly at some point when we have an incorruptible heaven on earth here on earth, they will be in the position prophesied in Revelation, the book of Revelation, that the lion will lie down with the lamb. They will become plant eaters. So it doesn't mean they'll all disappear. It also possibly does mean that things like wild dogs or dingoes, this is just my guess, okay, please don't take this as revelation, but that inhumanely take a bite at a time out of an animal as they run. Like they'll take a bite out of the flanks as the animals run. It's a very inhumane way of killing. It might be that they're one of the species that just doesn't make it. Please understand that other species will come to take their places that are benign and that are life-enhancing. Every species sings a song with its being. And if its being is not, its song is corrupting, even if it is upgraded, another one with a purer song will come forth. We should not look at the earth as being in trouble, as being, as being polluted, as being, those things can change in a heartbeat. We've had over these past few days incidences at home where we have looked in a drawer that is totally empty for something that was very important documents, could only be one of 2 places, in the safe or in that drawer, nothing. We look in the same drawer, all the documents are there. They were gone and now they're there. Reality changes. Garbage heaps can be gone if we get the pollution out of our mind and get our purity of mind back and the distortion of emotions out of our heart so that the innocence of heart is back. And how we do that, my brothers and sisters, is living in the moment. It is very difficult not to drag the past forward. But life is recreated over and over again. And unless we give it a chance to change, if with our expectations we hold it in place, that's not living in the moment. And that disturbs the innocence of yourself and everyone around you. So, the Let's continue. We will go next to Mark from Belgium. He says, a few questions about the incantations written in the language of the Father that are in Windows into Eternity. Incantation 1 of the Beak of the Dove, which is on page 76, is used to strengthen other spells. Does it work mainly for spells of the Beak of the Dove or for other ones as well? It works for all spells. Even if it is not a spell, now it will be possibly more compatible with any spells that is in that book because it's a body of information. However, it is absolutely worth looking at trying it with other spells as well. What I mean by this, my brothers and sisters, is as follows. It is very, very succinct and clear which information has to go in which book. In the past, there's been years I've been asked to publish 3 books. By the time I paid the typesetter, the illustrator, the publisher, the cover artist, and on, not to mention, you know, editors that we had to come in and look at it. My brothers and sisters, that was $30,000 out of my pocket, and then I had to advertise the books. So, you know, I would go, my gosh, I mean, can't I put this in one book? Make a 400-page book instead of two 200-page books, it would be cheaper. Oh, no, the information isn't compatible. The information and the spells have a very specific frequency. The rose we spoke about earlier in the show, each petal represents a body of magic. This body of magic is a specific petal, to be exact. If you look at that rose, it is the petal on the east side. If you have the rose facing the top one is the white rose incantations that are in the Isis book, and they are from the masters in Ireland. The dove one is the one on the right or the east. So it has a specific frequency. The best thing is to use that spell with all the other spells in the book of Windows into Eternity, because it has, amongst the many other things that are in that book, the incantations of the white dove. So I would recommend it just for that book. It could well work on others, but really we know it's going to work on those. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back, and we're in our last quarter. And Mark further asks, the text in English says, use these words before each spell. Does that mean we really should pronounce them over and over before each specific spell? Or is it enough to pronounce them once at the beginning of a series of spells and then to proceed directly? Whoops, where does it continue? I don't know where it continues. Well, here's how it goes, my brother Mark from Belgium. It is the case that you have to pronounce the one specific set of incantations is the spell that enhances all other spells. You are to pronounce it in front of each and every one of the spells in that book, even if you're doing a series of spells directly. So it's a yes on having to do it each time. All right, let me just see a minute here. Let's take a look at Stephen from England. Stephen says the following. Stephen says, I've been having flashbacks of a dream where myself and a few others, including Almin, were standing over the earth with 12, maybe 13 other planets of beautiful radiant colors shining upon the earth. I believe we were talking about an event where the mother would appear in a rainbow. It was truly an incredible experience. Strangely, I couldn't remember it in the morning. It just came back to me bit by bit. Also, I witnessed the night before a huge light in the sky, much bigger than any star. My original thought was it must be Nibiru, but I remembered Nibiru no longer exists, so it must be something else. Stephen from England, my brother, that is a beautiful, beautiful vision that you have and profound meaning to it. So let me explain what it is. We have, this is a little difficult to explain, but it's well worth listening to. See, life took place. Think of it as being in the white light. Or, let's get more sort of as an analogy, on a white television screen. The movie took place on a white television screen. Through the ages, the infinite kept dissolving, and it was in the dream it was the Holy Mother, because it's the feminine that goes into the dream. The infinite mother kept dissolving illusion. The problem is white light contains all colors. If you dissolve illusion, it's not going into nothingness. It's actually going into the white light until eventually your white is totally polluted. We were not functioning on that white screen. That was problem number one about living in the white light. We were not functioning properly with the white light because we were confined to colors, you know, the seven primary colors, the seven secondary colors, if you will, that are in the rainbow that came from red and blue and yellow. The primary colors of red, blue, and yellow produces white light. If you have that, you are limited to the color spectrum that life can be formed from. Now, around the Earth, Stephen, there are 12 hidden planets, as you know. And for those of you folks that are not aware of this, that don't follow along with my blog and my diary day by day and sort of walk this journey with me, I recommend that you go to www.astrologyofisis.com. When you go there, you will learn about these 12 planets. But you will see that some of them are quite barren. There are some that have waves that look like they froze in midair. So they have these spiky protrusions in ice. Virtually the whole planet is covered in ice. We've got one that has plants like sticks that look like desert sands. These are very barren, harsh environments. Why is this so? In the Museum of Natural History in New York, I believe it is, there is a collection of the pure colors of diamonds. There are 12 colors of diamonds, and the 13th one in the middle is the completely clear diamond. But you get the yellow canary diamond and so on. The somebody had spent their life looking for the exact pure colors of the right yellow, the right blue diamond, etc. There are 12 colors of diamonds. White clear one is in the middle. The 12 planets each represent a color, but there weren't 12 colors before. There were only 7. So 5 of these planets have been very inhospitable. And the 13th, which is the Earth, which indeed, Stephen, you did see, it's the Earth is the 13th diamond inside. In actual fact, my brothers and sisters, if they understand correctly, if you take a crystal clear diamond, it could become a seer stone under certain conditions. And I don't know what that is, because that's coming out of my mouth for the first time, so this is new information to me as well, but it becomes a seer stone. It becomes what we refer to in the Opening the Doors of Heaven book, as well as, I believe, the Gift of the Unicorns book, as the Urim and Thummim. And you'll read about the Urim and Thummim in the first 5 books of the Bible as the breastplates of the Levite priests. They used it as seer stone. The Mormon prophet Joseph Smith translated sacred records with a seer stone called a Urim and Thummim. This is the 13th diamond in the middle. Now, only recently, and you can find this on my blog diary, did we change from a white screen to a black screen. In the black screen, because there was no confinement as to what colors had to be used to keep white light, the full spectrum light for the first time could be brought forth in creation by the infinite. This was a very large change, and you know what? This secret was uncovered by the members of my class a week before last. And most of them were brand new members. This is what they uncovered. This is the type of work we do in my classes. So, my brothers and sisters, what we have is we've got now the full spectrum light. When somebody does not live in the full spectrum light, they get a type of depression. So, you know, they get special lamps to prevent this depression. We've been in a kind of depression. When you're depressed, you even trash your own habitat. It's seen from angel, you know, from animals that you put in cages, that they'll just trash their cage. And because they're not living in freedom. They're in depression. So if we are in depression because we didn't have the full spectrum light, a lot of the behavior of humankind can be attributed to that. The planets received a message from a group of people. The Oracle Isa can tell you about this if you ask her on the schoolofarcana.com. But she received a message from beings from one of the 12 planets. Thank you very much. They sent a message to me. Our habitat is so harsh. Then a week later, after my class had done this work, they sent another message. Thank you. Our habitat is much better. That's because those 12 planets that you saw, Stephen, lit up. And the habitats have become wonderful for the beings on those planets. Some of them had to live in the crust of the planet because of how harsh the surface had been, because the full spectrum light came online. And what that meant is that the Earth herself lit up, because it's alchemy again. The 12 colors together produces a seer stone. The Earth has become a seer stone. And that is the result of this. Christina's in Toronto, and Christina Trevino has, with Anita, their own YouTube show quite regularly. She says, one last day of Toronto pod, I walked outside into a beautiful desert. Can't remember the name. With reddish gold mountains to my left, this is a visionary experience for her. Then to my right, there was a long gold monument with a statue of Isis sitting in the middle. I stood before her. I noticed in the center of her heart a green necklace exposed. I said, ah, I know who you are. And she looked into my eyes. I turned to my right and saw a man, which is our brother Andrew, opening a flap in the wall. light shone out, and he then keyed in codes so he could enter into where we were also. This felt more like a new secret place or library. Could it be? Christina, there, I spoke before on some of the shows that when I give information, I give up to, my books contain up to about level 3 and 4. On the blog, I give level 5 and sometimes a 6. And then I also give a 5 and a 6 sometimes on the radio shows, particularly when it comes to spontaneously, but seldom a 6. It's mostly a level 5. And the reason is, the reason is that 6 is just unspeakable. My darling, you've stumbled on such a secret. It's a really big secret, and it's only happened in the last few weeks. And if you will bear with me till the time is right, then I will explain it. My brothers and sisters, until next time.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of the linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almin. Please join us again next week.